For Advent, I used a book written by Adam Hamilton called Not a Silent Night, and it kind of went through Mary's perspective of the Christmas story. For this week, I read another Adam Hamilton book, but this one's about Joseph and Joseph's role in all of this. And the last chapter of this book is what's next. What happened in the days and weeks and months immediately after the birth, because we kind of miss the point if we see Christmas as a singular one-day event. The point is that Christmas is not even the first of the story. Christmas is a part of the story that happened way back, beginning with Adam and Eve, and hasn't even ended yet. It's not a singular occurrence. It's not a singular event. It is an event, a big event, but still part of a larger story. So what happened after that big event came? The days after a big and important event can be stressful. Another thing we talked about throughout this Advent season was putting a human face on these people. Mary and Joseph were just as human as any of us. So let's live into that and say, what would their humanity have dictated that they do next? Having a baby for anybody is a big deal, whether it's the Son of God or not. Having a baby changes your life. So in what ways can important events be a little bit stressful? Well, here's some examples. One of my professors told me about when he got married. The next day he woke up and he entered into his normal morning routine. He went downstairs, he had breakfast, he made himself some chocolate milk, and he's just sitting there reading the paper and eating his breakfast, and all of a sudden he hears the door open and close, and he heard footsteps walking around the house, and he was afraid. And he picked up the phone to call 911, and all of a sudden, he realized, oh, I'm married now, it's my wife. Somebody else lives in my house now. Another man I know adopted two children, a brother and a sister. Adoption is a very long process. It can take months or even years to finally actually have the kids come into your house. And so you just kind of go about your everyday routine until one day they come. Well, he, very similarly to the first one, the next day entered into his normal routine, making his breakfast and reading his paper and watching TV, and all of a sudden a little boy comes barreling into the kitchen and says, "Morning, Dad," and he almost knocked him off his chair because he had forgotten that he is now a father. And I remember starting my first church. It was July 1st, 2013. Sherry and I stayed up on the phone together the night of June 30th, waiting for it to turn midnight and for me to turn into a pastor. And then the next day I had my first church meeting, and I went to the church, and we're just kind of sitting around, and somebody starts saying, "Reverend, Reverend, Reverend." Well, nobody had ever called me that before, so it never occurred to me that they were looking for me. And eventually I said, oh, that's me. And finally it sunk in that a major event had happened in my life. On Tuesday night, we celebrated a major event. And what we're going to do today is look at how, yes, that was a major event for the whole world, large scale. But it was also a major event on a small scale for that small, now family of three, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And each of those is important, and the world reacts differently than you react just personally. And we're going to play with that a little bit today. This was perhaps the biggest event in all of history. Even non-Christians can't help but say, okay, yes, the birth of Christ changed the direction of the world. Whether we believe it happened or not, enough people have believed that it happened that it changed the world. So how big was that event? We as Christians know how important the birth of Christ was to the entire story of the planet and to the story of our salvation, and it's our very being. So obviously it's important to us. But how big of an event was it to the rest of the world, even if they didn't believe? For example, any one of us at any time, by holding up one of these, or even, you know, an old paper way, could hold up a year's calendar. They're in our pockets now at all times. Well, it might not seem like much, whether it's on here or on paper, whether it's in my office or in your home, whether it's, you know, on a big billboard or whether it's a pocket edition, it's all the same, right? 7 days of the week, 52 weeks of the year, 365 or 366 days, 12 months. The names of the weeks, the names of the days are the same. The names of the months are the same. The numbers are the same. It's called the Gregorian calendar. The calendar that we use is called the Gregorian calendar, and it is the most used calendar throughout the whole world. But it's not the only one. You may have known that. There are other calendars that exist, which is why other, even Christians, celebrate things like Christmas and Easter on different days. It's because they follow a different calendar. Even more than that, there are all kinds of different calendars out there. Ours is called the Gregorian calendar, the most used in the world. What does this calendar have to do with the birth of Christ? Well, the Gregorian calendar, again, used more than any other in the whole world, is based completely off of the timeline of Jesus' birth. It was a pope, Pope Gregory, Gregorian calendar, Pope Gregory, who officially initiated this calendar in 1582 to fix some of the problems with the old calendar, which was the Julian calendar. The math didn't add up quite right and things like that, so they tried to perfect it. The difference is the Gregorian calendar places the birth of Christ at the center of basically all history. And everything is compared to when the birth of Christ happened. Anything before the birth of Christ is kind of given like a negative number, or called BC, before Christ. Anything after Jesus' birth is given a positive number, or given the title AD, which means Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. But that means the entire calendar of all time is centered by the birth of Christ. Now, they got that date wrong. We know that now. But still, the presumed birth of Christ is literally where negative numbers become positive, where everything is grounded off of. Still, whether it's accurate or not with the exact date of Christ's birth, the most used calendar throughout the world is directly related to Jesus and Christianity. Even though this calendar was officially initiated in 1582, Jesus' birth was seen as a major world-changing event long, long, long before that. Even immediately after his birth, the world started reacting to this major news. Some reacted in a positive way, and some reacted in a negative way. But either way, this birth made a major impact on a small scale and a big scale. On a small scale, it made a big difference for that small little new family of three. On a big scale, even kings noticed that this birth had happened. On a large scale, King Herod heard of his birth. And that birth to him, a king, was such a big deal that he was afraid of it and sought to do away with it. This birth was such a big deal that angels came to announce it. That doesn't happen every day. That's a big deal. This birth was such a big deal that kings from other nations, kings who weren't even Jewish, came to see it for themselves and to bring gifts. These are all the ways, not all, but many of the ways, that Jesus' birth changed the world on a large scale. But these large-scale things can be hard for everyday people like us to relate to, right? I did not have a king afraid of my birth. I don't know about you. As far as I know, angels did not announce my birth. Maybe they did yours. But, certainly no gold or frankincense or myrrh was brought to Georgie's NICU bed. So these things don't happen every day. They are large-scale events, things that we have not personally ever seen or witnessed. They can be hard to relate to. For those of us who these things haven't happened to, the good news is that this major event still holds major significance, even on our small scale. One of the scriptures that prophesied what would happen when the Messiah came was Isaiah chapter 40. And it talks about large-scale healing positively affecting the small-scale things in life. On a large scale, it says, mountains will be made low and valleys will be lifted up. But on a small scale, it says, each person, even the lowliest and the least, will benefit from this event. Yes, this birth changed the world. Yes, this birth fulfilled hundreds of years of prophecies. Yes, this birth began a life that would save all life. Yes, this birth over the years would lead to billions of followers. But this birth also meant something for that small family of three that it happened to. Their job as parents was to raise him the right way, the way the Hebrew scriptures outlined. Mary and Joseph did just that. They had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day, just like the law required. They brought him to the temple to be dedicated to God, just like the law required. They raised him in the faith, just like the law required. Mary and Joseph's reaction to this major event was to do everything that God's law says should be done. That's where we enter into this story. We, like Mary and Joseph, should search God's word when responding to major events. We are to have faith in Jesus Christ. We are to love all people all the time. We are to claim our authority to heal in Jesus' name. Our response to Jesus' birth, like Isaiah's prophecy, is to bring the large scale and the small scale together. Everything we do is not just for ourselves, but it is for the good of all. And what is done for all should also be done to improve a single person's life, so that we are improving and transforming the world one person at a time, large scale and small scale at the same time. Yes, major events can be overwhelming, but we can't be so overwhelmed by them that we are unable to actively respond to those events in ways that bring glory to God. And so our response, just like Mary and Joseph's, is to actively respond to these events in ways that are outlined in scriptures, in ways that bring glory to God and faith in Jesus Christ, in ways that say thank you for this good news, and in ways that raise children and grown-ups in the faith. Amen.